music, news, information. Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
Welcome into the studio now, our own Ciarán Murray. Good morning, Ciarán.
Morning, John.
Thank you for dropping in. We're going to talk about the 10th anniversary of Northside Today, and maybe tell us a little bit about how it all came about. And
I suppose Northside Today is going 10 years, and it's great. It's a great achievement to be going 10 years. And when you think about a lot of the issues that dominate the news, and they dominate a lot of things that people talk about, often local issues and local people and more ordinary things that really affect our lives at a very local level can tend to be forgotten. So that's kind of an area that we felt needed to be looked at. And 10 years back, we felt it was time to go with a big two-hour morning programme kind of dedicated to that, and dedicated to a whole range of different things. And I suppose the types of issues over the years, as you would know them very well, would be sometimes things that would be... again, they're not going to make big news headlines, but if there's a new housing estate going in beside you, it's a very important issue, you know?
It is, yeah. It can be very contentious as well, being there, done that with a few people.
Yeah, and they're very contentious issues, and they can affect people's lifestyles and affect people's health in a big way. So, you know, in order for us to try and follow those stories and make sure we can get local opinion on those stories, and sometimes people have fears about new housing estates and the like, that they do need to voice them, but they also need to get kind of correct information and know what's really going on. And in that sense, we've always tried to make sure that we can have lots of local voices on from the local councillors as well, because they'd often be at the forefront of those kind of decisions and those kind of planning meetings and stuff. And some of them have been very good over the years in coming on and providing that information.
Yeah, we like to stick to topics, as you said there, that would be of interest to our catchment area. But that doesn't really apply anymore now, Ciarán, does it? Because of the internet and all this, mm-hmm. we are covering some bigger issues that don't just affect our local area.
Oh, well, I suppose there's bigger issues that affects everyone, that affects all people's lives. And in a way, I suppose it's still nice to have a local angle on those kind of issues. I think there's things, though, that do have a certain resonance that are very much local, even though they would have been big stories. I mean, when you think of the Stardust,
that's still ongoing.
It's still ongoing, but it would probably be something that would mean something to people of a certain age almost everywhere in Ireland, you know. Once they hear that name, it does still come back to that terrible day. But yet, for us, I suppose, it's still an issue locally that means something more than it does nationally. With the changes in the way that people listen to radio, stuff clearly does have much more of a life than just the FM part of it, just the normal broadcasting. People choose to listen to podcasts when they like. I think one of the major achievements or even innovations that we've brought into Northside today is the archive. So it's a little bit like a kind of a best of piece.
Yeah.
And we would have chosen a selection of pieces from over the years for various reasons. Again, sometimes they would be particularly local issues and local voices. But sometimes, as you said, they would be broader issues. And just to get a local input on those broader issues in the city that would affect people as changes come to the city. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard about the new rail route or the new underground or the new Lewis to the airport or something.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them just go on and on. But
it can be very interesting as well. You get local residents associations coming in. In particular, the Larkin Residents Association up there, who were in a couple of occasions about the big build-up of, I think, talking about thousands of homes and the effect that will have on the Oscar Traynor Road.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it's the residents' associations who are really on the ground as well, you know. And again, some of those issues can seem quite small, but if you get a row of trees planted on your street, in your estate, and over the years they come and they make the place seem quite difficult, quite different from that kind of barren estate with no trees. The amount of times I've seen broken footpaths as an issue for councillors as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the likes of the Larkin estate, and again, there's big issues there with housing.
And the infrastructure as well. It's huge.
But if you look at stuff, I mean, like the refurbishment of the Northside Shopping Centre, and the difference in some of the old shopping centres, like Northside and Donnymead, and how they've fared since they build bigger, more fancier ones further out, and people just don't go to Donnymead, they go on out to Soars or something instead. And they're big issues for where people live, you know.
Yeah, and then as well, like, we can cover charities and stuff like that. I mean, cover local charities. Myself in particular, now I would do as much as I can with St. Michael's House.
Yeah.
Because of involvement with St. Michael's House.
Yeah.
And I remember doing an interview going back a couple of years. It was a pop-up shop at Christmas.
Yeah.
And they were asking for people to donate objects that they could sell.
Yeah.
You know, for Christmas. And we sent out the interview, and about a couple of weeks later, after Christmas into January, we got a call from St. Michael's House wanting to know, can they come on and thank the listeners, because they got a huge response to
it.
And something like that is very fulfilling. It's fantastic.
And as you said, I mean, lots of people have a personal relationship to places like St. Michael's House, and again, under other circumstances, St. Francis Hospice.
Yeah.
You know, people would know it very well, and it would be very meaningful for lots of people. And these things are very important in people's lives at a local level. I think as well, I suppose I just would like to say a big thanks to all the different presenters down the years through Northside Today, and have been very many. But without trying to mention everyone, I suppose to mention Geraldine Wynne,
who was here,
and Geraldine was only a young woman when she passed away. Unfortunately, some years back, she was also a presenter of Northside Today, and lived not just locally but across the road. So,
She would have been before my time. But listen to people talk about her; she's very, very popular. And didn't she do an item on the Maisonettes here across the road?
Yeah. Living in the Bunratty Maisonettes, and then being able to make radio pieces with the people living in the Maisonettes, and that was a very important piece. And I suppose places like the Bunratty Maisonettes, I mean, they can get a name for social problems, they can get a name for negative things, but actual fact, there was lots of really good stories and lots of really good people lived there over the years, and it's much nicer to be able to capture that if you actually live there. You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes, because when you do a refurbishment on them, it's only a small place, so it's not a big place like Ballymun refurbishment. It doesn't have that big national name. But again, it means a lot to people.
If you live there, it means
a lot to you. Yeah.
So you mentioned the archives there and different presenters. We're going to present a piece from two old presenters now. The first one is Ronnie O'Brien.
Yeah, did you mean former presenters or old presenters?
Former presenters. I'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
The first one is by Ronnie O'Brien, and regular listeners will know that Ronnie actually taught me the desk, and he was my mentor here, you know. And I'll never forget that meeting that I wasn't invited to Kieran, by the way. Ronnie and Zandra went in to have a meeting with you, and I was producing for Ronnie at the time, and I was sitting out in the office, and I said, what's going to happen here? Ronnie was coming up to his retirement age.
Yeah.
And they came out of the office. They said, by the way, who's going to take over from Ronnie presenting? And they said, you are. And I rattled for about a couple of weeks before I got used to it.
Well, I'm glad you got used to it, John. So do you want to introduce this piece then, this next piece from Ronnie?
From Ronnie, yeah.
Our greetings to Ronnie and to all the other former presenters. This is a piece about a cultural piece about a Dublin Innovation Festival.
Okay,
that
here we go.
Ronnie did back in 2011.
Now to the interview with Michael Stubbs, who is the assistant manager with the Dublin City Council Planning Department, and he's going to tell us about a current exhibition that's running all across Dublin. It's Innovation. Joining us on today's programme is Michael Stubbs, who is the Assistant City Manager in the Planning and Economic Development Department. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine.
Good.
Now, Michael, one of the things that the the council does very well is something we're going to talk about this morning. That's the Innovation Dublin Festival.
Yes. This is our third year, and it's going from strength to strength. when we started off 3 years ago, we were it was putting our toe in the water just to see what kind of a response we would get, and we were overwhelmed by it. So first year we were, it was a week long event. Last year it was 2 weeks, and this year we're gone to a month.
Yeah.
Because people are so interested in the whole idea of working together to get ourselves out of the recession that we're in. There are so many good ideas out there in, you know, with people working as social entrepreneurs or start-up businesses, or ideas coming from the university or the schools in the city. And we just felt that there's an opportunity here every year to showcase what our brilliant ideas coming from people, and let, you know, the public share the kind of knowledge and passion that there is out there in the city in terms of new ideas and certainly things that technology can bring for the future to the city.
Yeah. Well, as you say, this is your third year and you've extended it to a month. Did you start working on this more or less after the finish of the last one?
Yeah, what we do is we review when the festival is over. We review what has happened. We take some vox pop and we get some feedback from people who have attended events, and we build then from that and try to incorporate a new theme each year into it. And we usually start working on it about a month after. A month or two after the festival has closed. So we'll be start working on this now in December and January, getting ready for next year. Next year is going to be a very big year for the city, because we're the European City of Science next year. So there's going to be a lot of events during Innovation Dublin and outside of that period as well,
right,
celebrating a lot of work on the in the whole area of science and technology.
Yeah, I can sense you already have ideas running around your head.
Absolutely, we have loads of ideas, and we're delighted with it. But this year, we're just overwhelmed again by the response that we've got, and in terms of people's, you know, they've grasped onto this and they've come up with, you know, wonderful imaginative ideas. Like one of the things we have is an open mic jam session in a number of the pubs around Grafton Street. It'll be in Neary's and I think it's MacDade's and a few other the pubs.
Right.
And it's to make it a fun event as well as a social event. So people will be able to come in an open mic session, present their idea for 3 minutes to an audience of, you know, techies, entrepreneurs and the general public. And they'll get an instant reaction to their idea. So, you know, it's stuff like that that, you know, it's not just about behind closed doors having conferences and talks about technology or science. It's about getting it out to the people so that they understand what, you know, what opportunities there are in terms of ideas out there. We have the Dublin Web Summit, which has grown from strength to strength each year, and the expectation is that we're going to have more than 1,000 people will visit the RDS for the summit.
Right.
The Web Summit is really, it's really described as, it's an oxygen festival for web types. So anybody who's interested in web technology, come along to the RDS. It's over 2 days, and you'll get so much energy and ideas from the people who are going to be there.
Yeah.
And then on the techie side, where we've merged art and technology together, we have a very interesting project called Quantified Self. Now, I know it sounds a bit daft, but what it is, it's sensor wireless sensor technology that you can wear on your body, right?
Okay.
And effectively what it does, it records and transmits psychological data from your body. So, you know, it reads the heat levels in your body, it reads your brain activity, and that will be manifested through, you know, lights and colours and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just to demonstrate, you know, that technology can perform as well as a function in terms of you know, measuring things for well-being, it can also be visualized in a sense. This is technology, for instance, that's used it's used, say, in the early detection of Alzheimer's disease. It can predict volcanic eruptions, and it measures lorry drivers' tiredness levels. So that's what it's used for, yeah, on a practical level. But we're merging it with art this year, just to explore, you know, the idea that it's not just technology is not just boring. It can be very full of fun and life as well.
Oh yeah,
Another one for school kids, which is, I want to get this there because I think the school kids will love this. This is for second level students, and it's the largest computer games workshop in the world. And it's going to be on in Kevin Street DIT. And anybody who has a passion for games and wants to know how game design work and how you can you develop your own games, come along to this. They'll love it, you know.
Yeah.
So I just want to give people, you know, an understanding that this is not about, you know, geeks playing with technology. It's not about PhD students playing with science and nanotechnology in universities. It's about people who have ideas that can be made into business, can be made into fun, and ultimately will lead to jobs and you know, create a very smart city that we know the talent is out there in Dublin, and we want to show the world that this is what we do in Dublin.
Yeah, well, you know? I'm certainly not going to disparage PhD students, but I imagine that, you know, innovative steps within science and technology, as many have been made by people who don't actually have a third level education, even, well, certainly not a master's or PhD.
No, because, I mean, what we found, the people with good ideas, they're natural entrepreneurs, so they you know, come out if you have an idea. Don't be hiding your talent just because you don't have a university degree. People, you know, the best thinkers in the world, the best business people in the world, the biggest entrepreneurs in the world have not been the most successful academically,
yep,
you know, and we all know that.
Oh,
so
yes,
there's huge opportunities, whether it's the IBM Global Entrepreneurs Awards or, you know, any of the work that the DITs are doing around, you know, developing business ideas. There's a huge amount of activity out there for you, if you have an idea, you have a startup idea, to showcase it, meet up with people, make connections, get your network going, and it will help you, no doubt about that.
Yeah. The start of this year's festival coincided with the 100th anniversary of the opening of Bolton Street.
Bolton Street, that's right. Yeah, we had a photo call there for the start of it, and the first student came into Bolton Street on Monday last. The first student 100 years ago last Monday.
Right.
And the amount of energy that the current students are showing in terms of the design work that they do is just incredible. We went over to have a look at the Formula One car that they built themselves, designed and built themselves, and raced at Silverstone. And they'll be doing it again this year. It's just incredible to see such cooperation and energy between their tutors and the students in terms of coming up with such wonderful ideas, you know.
Yeah.
And then being able to, you know, being able to race in Silverstone with a real car that they built themselves, you know.
Yeah, I just want to make the point that really, you know, I mean, we have been working with technology here in Dublin for over 100 years.
Yes.
You know, it's not, we didn't suddenly start in the 70s.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's the one thing that we see in both in our research and in our international networks, that people have this, you know, wonderful perception. Dublin has always been creative. The people in Dublin, you know, in our universities and in our schools and in our ITs, you know, are very creative. They have good ideas. They can express themselves very well, and they're very imaginative. And you know, we hear this, you know, when we're talking to people around the world, and that's evidenced by the fact that, you know, other cities such as St. Petersburg in Russia, Barcelona in Spain, San Jose in Silicon Valley, will all be here. In Dublin during Innovation Dublin to look at the work we're doing and to try and emulate it in their own cities, because they see it as a wonderful forum in which, you know, they can bring people forward. And not only that, this year for the first time we've linked with Belfast, and we're working with the University of Ulster because they saw the opportunity. Can we do something up in Belfast? Can we have an Innovation North Festival, for instance?
Yeah.
We're delighted with the prospect, working with them and the Irish Technology Leaders Group from Silicon Valley in California. And hopefully this can grow into an Innovation Ireland Festival. Why not?
Exactly. Why not? I mean, because we've been talking about, you know, cross-border partnerships and things like that. So why not? Listen, Michael, can I just ask you about two or three others which are not technical? What's the Genesis exhibition?
Now, you have me on that one.
Oh, right. Okay.
But here's one that is an interesting one for you, and it's called Net Hope.
Net Hope.
And it's the 10th anniversary of the chief information officers from Concern Worldwide. Right.
Okay.
So you have the development agencies that work in the third world, such as Concern and others, are coming here to Dublin to have their 10th anniversary meeting. And it's around the whole area of that technology has the power to transform people's lives. So you have organizations such as Oxfam, Habitat for Humanity, World Vision, and the SIS Children's Villages, all coming together through their technology officers to look at how they can use technology to transform people's lives in the third world. And that's a real coup for Dublin to get this, an international event. They're coming from all over the world to this, to explore and work on technology solutions for people's lives in the third world.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Oh, it is. You know? And again, I say I know absolutely nothing about technology, but when we talk about technology, it can be very, very simple.
Yes.
Because I know in Africa, they found a way of using a form of satellite dish to generate, I don't know, it's to generate heat or something like that. But, I mean, they weren't connected to a grid.
Yes.
But it enabled them, I don't know, to keep the fires going and all that. For cooking on.
Absolutely.
I think that was it. So, I mean, basically it was a relative of a wok.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah, it featured last year in the IBM Entrepreneur Awards. And it's just a very simple idea, as you say. And look, it brings so much comfort to people who are struggling in the world, you know. And that's where simple ideas can make such a huge impact on people's lives, you know.
Absolutely. Michael, I know that, as I say, you have been working very hard. I know you're still working very hard as we speak.
But listen, all details in relation to it can be found on the website,
which is
www.innovationdublin.ie. There's a full, web map of events and their locations, so you'll be able to pick out the best. And obviously, you know, you can, if you have a smartphone or an iPhone, a lot of the events are going to hook up with you when you're at them, so you'll be getting messages about events that are happening that day in other places or the coming week or whatever. So it's using technology in that way itself. But check out the website, because there's something there for everybody to enjoy.
Yeah, that is www.innovationdublin.ie. Michael Stubbs, I'll give you your full title again, Assistant City Manager in the Planning and Economic Development Department. Many thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Ronnie. Cheerio. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Yes, that was great. Ronnie O'Brien there talking to Michael Stubbs from DCC. And that was broadcast way back in October 2011.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.